Jim Taylor back on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. A pleasure and a treat and a privilege to talk to two guys that have coached for a long time. Bill Breeden's with us this morning along with Bob Mitten. I know Coach Breeden told me 4 decades of coaching in the Aledo area. Bob Mitten's been doing it a long time. I know coached at Orion, coached at Rock Ridge, coached at Ridgewood. Gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for stopping in. I don't think 50 minutes of conversation is
Jim, thanks for the invite.
And I want to tell people how this conversation was set up. I went down to do a preseason wrestling interview with Coach Speaker down at the wrestling room, the Bill Breeden wrestling room. You have a room named after you, a building named after you. Mitten's got a tournament named after him, so that's the type of guys.
And it's not a memorial.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't read your obituary
that's right.
on the air here.
That's
WMJ.
Right.
But I was standing there, and Coach Breeden was down there with John Swank, a former mm-hmm. wrestling coach in the program, and we just were, you know, starting to talk about various things. And that's why I said, you know, we have to have a kind of a conversation like this on WRMJ, just about kids in the wrestling room, you know, the culture of sports. So I guess I'll begin my conversation today, and we'll get off tangent here. You brought up a good point, coaching for 4 decades. Mm-hmm. How much have kids changed, if any, you think, in the 4 decades, and how does the approach, if it all has to change? And I'll let both you guys discuss that.
Well, Jim, it's changed a lot. And the way that kind of came up, a person, we were talking about sport participation and said, well, Bill, things are different than when you coached. And I looked, and I, like I told you, Jim, I kind of got my gander up a little bit. And finally I answered him and I said, you know what? I coached in 4 different decades and you think they didn't change? Of course they changed. And as a coach in this day and age, I think that whatever decade you coached in, you're going to have to figure it out, because that's your job and that's your responsibility. Now, there's one thing going on today that did not happen in a lot of that, and that was the social media stuff, okay? And I really think that's part of the problem. But you have to change. For example, I coached in the 70s. Okay, in the 70s, well, what was going on? Well, there were some things filtering down into sports that had never happened before. One is nobody had ever challenged authority much. Okay, but in the 60s and then the 70s, that's what was all about. Everybody was challenging everything. And you think coaches didn't get challenged? What do you mean you have rules? Why do you have them? And what does this rule mean? Okay. Then here's Bob will like this one, because if we started the wrestling program, and Jim, you want to know one of the biggest problems I faced early on? Haircuts. Because go back to the 70s and think of what the hair looked like. And there were guys, and I won't say a guy's name, okay, here in town. Everybody knows him, okay, and a good wrestler too. And I had to promise him, almost signed in blood, that I would not cut his hair if he went out for wrestling. You can't touch my hair. All right. And that was back in the days when, remember, guys are just now getting long hair. And I mean, and they're going, rather than just going to the barber and say, that now they're getting it styled. This is in the 70s.
Yeah.
Okay. And they were paying big bucks in those days. Okay. So you had that to contend with. And then you go to the 80s, and there were different things in the 80s. And in the 80s, what was going on then was just simply, believe it or not, that we just got through talking about it, but that's when participation specialization was starting, was in the 80s. Then you go to the 90s. All right, in the 90s, what went on? Well, the 90s, the thing that I remember more than anything else about the 90s, kids had more money than I'd ever seen before. And believe it or not, that was an issue for a while, okay? And then by that time, now it's another generation, because now you had parents, okay, that they're living through their kids, which is great, which is fine, okay? The parents became more involved. Now, more involved in what way? Because parents' involvement is very important, and you have to have it. In what way? Again, no names, because had to sign that code blood, Jim, before you let us come on. But there was a guy in town that his son was very, very good, and he was very active, you know, in the sport. And finally, I had to have a private conversation with him. I told him, I said, I almost said his name. I said, we have to come to an understanding. I'm the coach. I'm going to coach your kid as best I can, and I'm going to treat him just like he's my own kid. So there's how things changed, okay, and I'm sure Bob could add to that.
Yeah. Do you start when did you start coaching?
78.
Was that at Orion?
I've been at Orion the whole time as far as my teaching and stuff. I think there's a couple of things. I agree 100% with what Bill said and that, but you didn't say about the when we hit the 2000 and that. You know, I think one of the biggest things is, and it's really funny, but if you talk to therapists and that, how many kids are having fingers issues because of the new games and all that to come on. Kids are getting more lazy as far as that. You know, when I have a kid in physical education, I tell everybody this. One day I was out there doing activities because I was a phys ed instructor, and he'd tell me, I don't want to do that. I'd have to sweat. You know, that's the mentality you start to deal with. And it's only gotten worse if you look at some of the activities and stuff, as far as, you know, we play cards and do things of that nature, but the physical issues of it. And then the second thing is, you know, I think that's really played a part is the fact that, the changing in society as far as, well, specialization, like you said, but then look at the number of split families, divorced families, that type of thing, unmarried parents and that. So their priorities are someplace else as far as providing and things like that. You know, I had kids that couldn't come out because of the fact that they had to get a job. And so those things also play a major part. So here again, you know, looking at it, Bill, you know, you said it. We have to adapt as coaches to the new generation. And I know you probably had this too. And it's kind of funny, Jim, because some of my old wrestlers come back and they go, man, coach, you've gotten soft, you know. So you look at it and that, but it's true. Times have changed. I look at some of the first teams I had compared now. You can't do the same things or you wouldn't have them.
But you guys both brought up a brilliant point in the front office about what it means to compete and how important that is. And we talk about off-season stuff has become such a big deal to get ready for your in-season sport. Which, you know, we can debate that all we want. But you were talking about still, if you can get kids to compete at a sport and it's not their primary sport, that's going to benefit them in their primary sport. By saying a football kid that football is his number one sport, and we've talked about this conversation, he would be better served if he's a lineman to go out and compete on the wrestling mat for 4 months of the season then go to strength and conditioning, per se,
Jim,
because it's competition.
If you look at some of the reports, like if you get online and you look at, like, Illinois, some of their recruits and things like that, you'll notice they don't even have a position. You see what it says? A good athlete.
Yeah.
And you know, as far as the high school goes, you get well-rounded athletes. You just don't get he may be great in football, but his skill levels may be low in every other thing. Going out for other sports gives you a well-rounded athlete, and that's what you should look for. And then the other thing is, you know, we talked out there earlier, Jim, and Bill agreed with this, or Bill said it first, was that the point being is you need to get away from your kids once in a while. I think they get tired of hearing your voice and that, and somewhat get a deaf ear to you. You're there for them. They know you're there. If they need, if they're in trouble or they need help or whatever, need to talk, they know that you're there. But at the same time, it sure does help to have another coach pick up, you know, the ball and run with it for a while with them and get another voice.
And Coach Breeden, I hear every coach say that to me about I need some away time from the kids I coach, because I'm with they. It's just like when the parents are around their kids, they just speak at them. It's not you're speaking with them, you're speaking at them, and after a while, they're not hearing the words that are coming out of your mouth. And you said, hey, you brought up a great point. Hey, I got to get away from your kid for a little bit, so I really don't want to see him in the summer months. I want to see them go full bore, as you say, balls to the wall, as they say, for the season I have them. And then they make that sacrifice for me. They deserve a reward in terms of, hey, I get true off-season time.
Right. Well, Jim, as a coach, what's your job? And I always thought that definition was easy. My job for each individual athlete was to make them the best they could be. It's that simple. Now, how's that work for different kids? Well, you have a team, but yet at the same time, each individual is different. And everybody that's listening that knows both Bob or me or both of us, because there are a lot of Orient people that know me too, but they know our personality. Okay. They know what it's like. And I guaranteed our guys, when our practice starts, okay, we're going to work as hard as Orion, I'll guarantee you. And we're going to try to work harder. And he's saying the same thing to his guys. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we meant it. And the thing is that while you're with me, I'm going to get you to be the best you can be. So that means that we are going to work at it. I'm going to get in your head because I have to. I have to figure out what makes you tick. For example, the best example I can give you, I had one guy, an extremely good football player and a good wrestler, and I won't mention his name, but you know how I motivated him? If I told you this kid's name, you'd go, no kidding. I ignored
him. You can tell me.
I ignored him. Because you know what he wanted? He wanted
you playing those mental games with him.
He wanted the attention.
Yeah.
Here, in school, I didn't ignore him in practice very often because we had too many things to cover. When I ignored him was during school. If I saw him in the hallway, if we'd be out, okay, give me five, pat each other on the back and smile at each other and walk down, I'd walk on the other side of the hallway. And why did I do that? Because, well, he'd probably done something that, you know, wasn't really what I wanted. And eventually during the day, he would come up to me and go, what'd I do? Okay. And this is one of the orneriest kids we've had. But the point is, you're around them. You're going to pressure them. You're going to push them. You're going to push the button, whatever that button is. But eventually, they need to be away from you. And as Bob said, a good point, somebody else needs to pick up the ball. Okay, because we need a break from each other. But when we're together, guess what? Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's another thing you need to mention, too, is that from the standpoint of when you get away from them, Annette, I also feel that we need to have some form of self-motivation. You know, if you're one, I mean, you're having to kick them all the time and that, you're there. I want them to get away from me and like these open tournaments, you go take care of business. Learn to stand on your own 2 feet without somebody there trying mm-hmm. to pick you up a little. I think that's awfully good. And then the other point, and I think this is more than ever, and I'm sure you'll agree on this one, Bill, is from the standpoint of, I tell a lot of people, I said, I used to put my latter part of my season, I had a shingle up there, you know, a shrink. You know, because everything they have to deal with anymore and that, they come in and they talk to you, and you're like a second parent to them, you know, and the things you cover. And the funny part is, and it's kind of sad in a sense for coaches. I don't know about you, but a lot of times by you yelling at them or getting on them, they think you don't like them or you're picking on them, that type of thing. But I said, if they see behind the scenes a lot of times how close these kids are, they're like family. Just an episode for you, like how many times did you ever get called in the evening that one of mine, and here again, not mentioning names, he's taking his mom's car. She went to sleep, and he wasn't on the drive, so he taken the car and drove it in the winter and put it in the ditch. Well, he don't call them. He calls me to come pull him out and get him back home. Of course, then he says, I suppose you're going to tell my mom, and, you know, yep. So we went in, woke her up, and sat down and talked about
it.
You know what I mean?
Well, thanks for pulling me on that bitch. Yeah, so I didn't have to get up and do it.
So we sit and talk. But the point is that it's, you know, if you're worth anything as far as a coach, it's a family atmosphere, and they're all close, and you do what you can for them. And Bill hit it. You know, sometimes some guys you got to kick in the shorts, and the others you just put a pat on the back. And to end up on this, I truly think that a lot of coaches in today's world in all sports are missing the boat, because a lot of the younger coaches, well, if they ain't coming out, I ain't going to go beg them and that. You know, a lot of the young...
That's where sports are dying out.
And you know, you'd be surprised how many kids I got out just by going and ask them to come out. All they want you to do is tell them you want them and a lot of coaches will not do that. If you don't come on your own, heck with it. But if you ask them, maybe they will.
Yeah, and I know I've had a conversation with Coach Welter one time about, he's like, kids are smart enough to realize if you're truly interested in mm-hmm. their life.
Yep.
You know, you can't phony them on that.
No.
But I was going to ask you, we were talking about this, and I really want both of you guys to elaborate on this. And I told you, this is one of my pet peeves about the off-season stuff, and I'm not going to blame any specific sport. I'm just talking off-season sport in general. But when what I mean by off-season stuff is the open gyms or the off-season stuff in any sport that impede on the in-season sports, right? So it boils down to work, as they say, the terminology is always the buzzwords you hear today, all work with your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That coach saying he'll work with that other coach's schedule. But what do you never hear? you never hear that coach say, well, I'll get this kid to go out for that other sport. It's, no, I'll work with your schedule. There is a huge, huge difference. And I'll defend the kids here a little bit where people say, well, there's not, you know, the multi-sport thing is dying. Well, yeah, it is. But the kids are still just as busy because they're multi-season sport. They're playing that same sport in multi-season. So the buzzword today, again, as I say, this is my opinion, and I want reaction from both of you guys, is I'll work with that. I'll work with your schedule in terms of I'll work with that other coach's schedule. It's not I'm going to get this kid that plays whatever sport to go out for that other sport where he probably could help. So what about that? Am I right on that or
not? Jim, you're right on. And the thing that we've lost sight of today is why do kids go out for sports? There are many reasons why a kid goes out for sport. One of them that we've lost sight of is just simply maybe they enjoy playing it. Okay. Now, I didn't say star. I didn't even say start. I just said they enjoy playing it. Another, maybe they just want to be with their friends. They know they're not going to play much, maybe. They know they're not going to be, but they just want to be with their friends. Some kids want to be a part of something, just a part of something. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. Some kids want to be a part of a winner. Okay? And there are kids that they'll be a part of a loser, and they don't care because Bob said it. They're a part of that, like a family. But the participation thing, and we talked about it out front, okay? But the participation thing is it's a real problem, and it really is a problem. And here it's this simple, okay? And we had the conversation, and coaches need to talk because here's the bottom line. And the bottom line that they can't forget is what is best for the kid. Mm-hmm. Not as what is best for my team. What is best for that kid? Now, if you're a multi-sport athlete, and here's our problem because they're specializing in this and this and this and this, okay? And I use football as an example. Let's say that there's a kid that his favorite sport is basketball. It's not football. But he's a decent athlete. As a coach, I want him out for football. I want him out because he's going to help our team. Now, if I expect that basketball guy that loves basketball, and that's his first sport, okay, to do all of the things, here's what you got to do for football, he's not going to do them. And I'm not going to penalize him for it because I want him. Okay, that's where I think we've lost track. The other thing is this. And now we go back, and then here's how things have changed, okay? Open gyms and so on. Okay, back in the day, I don't know when that started. I don't know when that ends. Okay, but back in the day, if the open gym, you did not have an open gym when another season was going on because you're infringing on the athlete because now he's got to make a decision. And I don't think that's fair.
Yeah,
I don't think it's fair for him, and I don't think it's fair for his parents.
And I want to give you an example, too, and then we'll pick up here. And this is a girl sport, all right? Okay, so I'm not even going to identify it because we're talking, you know, being wrestling coaches, talking about boy sports. But I was at a game, this was 3 or 4 years ago, girls basketball game, two rivals playing, local schools. And I'm back getting ready to do a we're broadcasting the game, okay? And I'm back getting ready to do a pregame interview with one of the coaches, all right? Rivalry game. And I see a kid walk by as I'm doing the interview with the coach. Got a batting helmet on and a bat. And so I get done recording the interview with the coach, and I'm like, was that just a kid? A softball kid? On a night that you have a rivalry game at two rivalry schools, and they're having an open gym for softball. So one, I get it. They can't. They're not playing on your team. But two, they're not at the game. So they have the opportunity. Two things where they not necessarily not going to play that sport, but not.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it's just stuff like that that just like what it just drives me bananas. So anyway, that's the off season stuff that definitely is impeded on the in season stuff. I don't know what the answer is because all the coaches want to protect their sport. I get that, but. That's the million-dollar question, I guess, that needs to be answered or solved, especially for the small school culture in Western Illinois.
I was just going to say that. You know, you're both correct. You know, when you're especially you look around here with the small schools, you don't have the 500 boys in the school to pick from or 500 girls and things like that. You have to share. And it's awful hard to share one, you know, in order to cut it, you have to share athletes and you have to work together as coaches. But what you're seeing as times change is you're right. Coaches are looking at their sports and we want them to be the best they can be. I give them credit for that. But the bottom line is you can also do that and share athletes, you know, by having other people like we talked about earlier, pick the ball up and support the other sports. But you know, how much are you seeing that now? Like you said, you see this year round now, volleyball, club volleyball, then you got football, then you got football clinics, and then you got them lifting weights right away. So you're missing out. And I can go on and on. It's just not them. Like you said, the batting cages and stuff. But somewhere, I don't know what the answer is. Maybe Bill can say something on it, but I don't know what the answer is unless they all start working together.
But let me give you an example, Coach Breeden, and I'll ask you, is it fair to the kid, well, I think the world of the kid who, okay, let's say a wrestling kid, all right, he's down there, I know all wrestling practices aren't open, but like for me, and I'm not a guy. I'll readily admit I don't still comprehend the sport of wrestling fully, but I understand that it takes a lot of energy to go to that wrestling room every day just to practice. You know, go to one of those practices, you'll see those kids, the sacrifices they make to wrestle. It's a grind, man. I mean, it's the because everybody says it's a grind. Wrestling practice is the grind that I see. So let me say, for example, here, okay, so wrestling kid, all right? So he's got practice after school, all right? All right, so he's a multi-sport athlete, okay? And then he's got football lifting in the morning, 2 days a week, 3 days a week. And then he's got a baseball open gym maybe one night a week or something like that. Is that fair? Is that fair to expect that kid? And the coaches will all tell you, well, he doesn't have to go do that. But by it being offered, he feels obligated. And you can say it over and over again that you don't have to be there, that it's optional. But by that being offered, you are doing what? You're giving him the choice. And then he's going to say, and that's, so I'm giving you the three things, right? And then he wants to get a college scholarship not to play sports. He wants some help financially to further his education. So he needs to maintain a 3.75 GPA. Now, is it fair for me as a person involved in athletics to say, well, he's going to play three sports? I'd say no. He's not going to play three sports. He's going to eventually say, no, I'm not going to do that because I gotta pick one over the other. So in terms of the leeway, and I'm sure most people will say, well, we're working with your schedule. So he doesn't have to do that. But do you see what I say?
Right.
But he feels obligated. The student athlete feels obligated that he has to commit to everything in order to be fully vested. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So if he can't be fully vested, he's going to pick one or two to say, I'm just not going to do it.
Right.
And that's the secondary athlete thing about you don't get the secondary athletes on some of those sports that you need to get you over the hump. And wrestling is a huge sport where you need the kid where maybe wrestling is not his main sport, but you need the secondary athlete. And football, too. You need, like you were given the basketball example, you need those secondary athletes to participate.
Exactly. Yeah, and let's call a spade a spade. Okay, it's mandatory. It's mandatory. If you have an open gym, it's mandatory. Okay,
I agree with that.
Now,
and coaches will argue with me about that because they always say the argument, I'm not making them come, and I'm telling them not to come. Well, you can say that all you want, but if you're having something, the kid thinks in the back of his mind that he's got to be there.
Jim, that's not the message sent. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Here, and here we go back to when both of us, because we're old, but here, if you have an open gym during my season, you've infringed on my season.
Mm-hmm.
Period. There's no, you can't. Now, the other thing is this. Okay, this kid goes to the open gym, whether it's baseball, basketball, whatever it is, okay? He goes to the open gym, and the coach will use the argument, well, he's learning things there that's, you know, he's getting more work, he's getting more reps in, he's doing this, and he's improving. I'll argue against that. and I'll argue against that this way, okay? He feels like he's got to go because, well, it's mandatory, so he goes, okay? Is his total concentration there? Always. Well, I'm going to argue it isn't, okay? First of all, you know, just how much is the coach coaching and how much is he supposed to be coaching? Okay, we can get, that's a whole nother argument we won't even get into.
I forgot about that.
Okay, I won't even get into that, all right? But how, actually, how much is he improving? Actually, how much would he be better off, okay, as Bob said, would he be better off going doing something else where he doesn't have the mental pressure, he doesn't have the physical pressure, and he might even be enjoying himself. Or he might be doing what you suggested. Well, he's getting his homework done. Okay, and maybe that's getting done better than he would have. Okay, so you go, Bob and I had these arguments, Jenny, you go way back. This is being old, but this is common sense because I've had this conversation with I don't know how many coaches, how many head coaches, pro and con. Okay, if whatever season it is, it's that season. And guess what? Don't infringe on somebody else's season. You don't, and I'll give you an example. This is a time where, and I'm saying this jokingly for everybody listening, okay? But the people that know me, they know me, all right? Give you an example. We're in a battle with these guys right here for conference champs in wrestling, okay? A battle. And we've got them coming up shortly, okay? And there was a basketball open gym. Open. Well, at that time, open gym meant it was open. You just couldn't, you had to kind of admit everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I don't think you have to do that even. But then so one of the wrestlers showed up. Okay, sprained his ankle.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay, sprained his ankle. Now you've infringed on our season. Not only did you infringe on our season, you jeopardized something that was everybody's goal. You jeopardized guys on that team that we were conference champs back in the year or whatever. You possibly took that away from them.
Yeah.
And I think that's wrong.
Well, it added to that. One of the things was that he said, but let's look at them. Number one is, you said it, they're really working. If they're out for wrestling, they're tired. And you're going to tell me then, number one, they need to go home after they do that. They need to get some homework done. For eligibility wise, and that how they do that if you're demanding them to go someplace else. Number two, if they're tired there from your practice and you're sending them, you expect them to come do your practice, when do they get rest so they can recoup bodily wise? And then number three, when you're looking at it, I had the same thing. A kid went out, was doing something to an open gym and had sprained his ankle just like he was talking about and laid up. And it's kind of like, so you're looking at three reasons why they shouldn't be right there, because definitely infringing on your part.
And then, of course, the first part, them being a student in the commitment
right.
in the
well,
classroom.
And here to go along, you know, now somebody in the argument would say, Jim, well, he could go to the playground and sprain his ankle.
Yeah.
Yes, he could. Okay. But he didn't feel like he had to go, or because it was all of his friends. No, it's not the same.
All right. And I'm telling, we got to take a break, but I tell everybody when I have these conversations that this is the starting point for the discussion. So you people at home need to think about this and continue the discussion among yourselves or among your parties. I'm not sitting here and saying everything I say is 100% true. It's opinion. And that's just like Coach Breeden and Coach Mitten here. This is the starting point of the conversation. So you have this conversation in your living room or the coffee shop or wherever you may be. We'll come back with more. It's the WRMJ Sportsline on the Saturday morning.